this particular segment, I would like to talk about the divine mercy. Now, the reason I'm picking the divine mercy is because we just celebrated that feast day in the Universal Church. This isn't an optional feast. This is the feast of the divine mercy. And that takes place on the first weekend, the first Sunday after Easter. Now, the reason why this feast day is so important in the Universal Church is because the entire life, death, and resurrection of Christ is about mercy. We look and we see the Most Blessed Virgin Mary as an expression of God's mercy. From the moment of her conception in her mother's womb, we see the divine mercy working. We see that the beautiful love of God for we who are in our misery. We see the hope coming to us through this young woman, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. And then we see the birth of Jesus, the announcing of the angel, when he is conceived in her womb. Without man, this divine seed enters into the Blessed Virgin Mary through the words of an angel. This message of salvation, this message of hope and of peace and of forgiveness, everything has to do with that mercy. And the mercy that we speak of is the forgiveness of God. If you look at the readings and the gospel for that particular Sunday, it deals with the forgiveness that God gives to his church through his disciples, through his apostles, through his priests. Jesus says very clearly, "Peace be with you." And the peace that he speaks of is the interior peace that we need in order to bring peace to a world. Now, it's not enough to be peaceful. We have to be at peace. We have to have interior peace. Peace is the reason and the basis of all love. It's the basis of all courage, because that peace that Jesus Christ gives us is a peace that stems from the forgiveness of sins and reconciliation back with God. And so what happens? He comes to the disciples who are hidden in an upper room, and he looks at them, and he says, "Peace be with you." And then he breathes upon them. Now think of this breathing upon them. When God enters into chaos with a matter, the primordial ooze, if you want to call it, of creation. He breathes upon creation, and what comes forth is the beauty and expression of God's love. And what does he do? He breathes upon the apostles, and he says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive will be forgiven them." Now, this is fine. This is great. This is wonderful. If he would have stopped there, you have all different religions throughout the world who feel, Christian religions, who feel that you can go directly to God. You don't need a priest. And that's what everybody has been trying to say since the revolt, the Protestant revolt, was sometimes referred to mistakenly as a reformation. Didn't reform anything. What it did was it destroyed. It went in and corrupted the truth and the teachings that had existed quite readily and quite clearly for 1,500 years. But you see, what they'd say is this: I can go directly to God. But see, God didn't say that. And if we are going to be Christians, we have to be complete in our acceptance of the teachings of Jesus Christ, not pick and choose what we want and what we dislike. Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive will be forgiven them." And he went on, and he said, "Whose sins you do not forgive will not be forgiven them." So what does this mean? It means that we need to go to a priest to receive the forgiveness of our sins. Priests must go to priests for the forgiveness of their sins. The Pope must go to a priest to receive absolution and that peace that Christ gives to us through the sacraments. And what are the sacraments? The sacraments are the presence of Christ. When I go to confession, I encounter Christ. In a holy matrimony, Christ is present. In the sacrament of the sick, it is Christ who heals. In the sacrament of the Eucharist is the sacrament par excellence. It is the primordial sacrament. It is the real presence of the living, breathing Jesus Christ. It is him in the flesh. You may not be able to see it, but he's there. And that is the pinnacle of mercy, of divine mercy, the height of mercy. And in order to be worthy of that mercy, in order to truly enter into the truth of what Christ gives us, we must have that peace that only He can give. And that means we must be forgiven. Everything Christ did was to bring us His peace. And His peace is the forgiveness of our sins. His peace is to do what no one can do on this earth, no professional can do on this earth, and that is to truly forgive our sins, to completely eradicate them, to see to it that they no longer exist. He doesn't cover them up. He doesn't sweep them under the rug. He doesn't hide them for later and keep them in the divine eye. When God forgives, He forgets. There's where that great peace comes from, knowing that we are not just forgiven nominally. We're not just forgiven in name, only in word. We are absolutely and unconditionally forgiven. When we confess all the sins that we know to have committed, even the sins we forgot are forgiven. What greater peace could we ask for? What greater joy could we have received from God other than that? To know that our sins are forgiven. Not to excuse them. Not to pretend that they don't exist. Not to look at other people so our sins don't seem to be as bad. Rather, we stand before Christ. We stand before a merciful Christ. We stand before a Christ that forgives our sins, forgets those sins, and gives us His peace. That is why the church celebrates the Feast of Divine Mercy, so that we all may know that goodness that comes from Christ. But it's more than that even. We can't stop at just being peaceful. We cannot stop at just receiving the peace of Christ. We must be ambassadors of that peace. We must give to others the very forgiveness that we ourselves have received. We must give to others the very peace, the very forgiveness that we have received. That's the message of Christ. That's why He comes to redeem us, so that we can become Him, so that we can be the message of forgiveness, that we, by being forgiven, now know its value, its strength, its power, so that we can forgive those who have hurt us. You see, peace can be had by anyone. The reason why Jesus came to forgive us is because that's the key to everything. In the Our Father, we hear it said and we say it over and over again. Forgive us in the same way we forgive others. In other words, forgive me, Lord, because I forgive. That's the key. We need to forgive other people for ourselves as well, because, you see, when people hurt us, they cause a wound inside of us. And that wound needs to be healed. That wound needs a medicine. It needs a healing ointment to cover it and heal it and completely eradicate it. And that is forgiveness. Every single time you think of somebody who's hurt you, forgive them. Forgive them over and over and over again. Just say it, because forgiveness is an act of the will. So just say, God, forgive him and help me to forgive him too. And every time you think of that wound, every time you think of that person, say that prayer. Say it. Don't worry about feeling it. Say it. Mean it with your heart. Mean it with your soul. Mean it with your will. And I tell you this, slowly but surely, the wound will begin to heal. And that wound will eventually completely disappear, and peace will be yours. And you will once again have the power of a Christian. You will have the power of forgiveness. You will have the peace and the power that only Christ can give. That is the Feast of Divine Mercy. That is what we celebrate on the first Sunday after Easter. That is what we celebrate as Christians, as Roman Catholic Christians.